through things. We're all going to face things, but it's our choice to determine what kind of a year we'll have or not. Probably most likely some of us will lose loved ones this year. There's a chance that one of us will not be here by the end of the year. But how many knows it doesn't matter, because God's got it all taken care of. I like what Lester Olof, he was an old Baptist preacher when I was young Christian, just really became a disciple of Christ, and I began listening to Christian radio, and he would come on, and he would say, he flew around little planes and had a little kind of orphanage thing that he run, and really was a very strict disciplinarian, but had a lot of good fruit over the years from his work. And he would always say, they'd say something about his little plane and flying around, he'd say, "Instant death, instant glory." I thought, how does the devil, what does the devil do with that? You know, you kill me, I'm just going to, it's going to just be better. It'll just get better for me. So regardless of what we're facing this year, the main thing is going to be how you look at it. So we're going to go back to talking about having a successful 2012. Everybody have your sword today? Ready to learn? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to go back in the series. Matthew chapter 6, and just do a quick review. The first week we talked about, we went down, you know, skipped on over to verses 19 through 23, and it talks about you cannot live apart from where your treasure is. How many knows wherever your treasure is? And if you don't know where your treasure is, just answer this question, and you can kind of, in any area, any given area, whether it's your relationship, it's your daily life, it's your job, it's your health, it's any area of life, you can answer this question: where are your thoughts most of the time? And what are you thinking? And if you'll answer those two questions, you can pretty much know where your treasure is in any given area. You know, what are my thoughts, what consumes my thoughts in this area, and what am I thinking? That's where your treasure is. That's where your heart is. And wherever your heart is, there's your treasure. It's connected. It makes this connection. And then it says, remember, that whenever our heart and our treasure is a certain place, it's going to affect the eyes. It goes right into the eyes, the lamp of the body, and it's either full of light or darkness. And so wherever your heart is and your treasure is, that's how you're going to see things. And I'll tell you something else that I haven't mentioned in that area, and that is, that'll determine how people see you. How you see things, because of where your heart and your treasure is and where your thoughts and life is fixed on most of the time. That's how you're going to see things, and how you see things is how you act and you react, and how you act and react, that's how people's going to see you, whether it's good or bad. I don't think it would be too bad every once in a while just have a little form every year and we'd circulate it around. You know, we get to evaluate everyone. And we would evaluate ourselves, and then we'd evaluate each other and see if our evaluation lines up with what everybody else thinks about us. You know, the ones that really know us. Just two or three people that's close to you that really know you. You know, you might say I'm kind and generous and giving. They might mark you a C- in that. It'd be humbling, wouldn't it? But you know what I'm saying. Or you might even mark yourself a C-, and they might mark you an A. Because if what we see in our heart and our treasure is not right, we're gonna live in some kind of a distortion. You know, we're not seeing clearly. That's why when people say that, you know, they're afraid or they're scared about their future and there's nothing there, there's nothing legitimate, but that fear is there. How many knows it's real to them? You ever think you heard a noise in the dark and your blood pressure and all your senses just arose? I mean, just, you know, and all of a sudden you think you heard a noise or you don't know what it is, and you know, and you know, you open the door or something or look out and something's blew up on the porch or whatever it is. You know, you've heard a noise in your house and you're like, what's that? I like it when we hear a noise and I'll tell Jana, go see what it is. She never has done that yet. So that's important that we just, you know, it's the first of the year, so just say, where is my heart? Where's my thoughts most of the time? Are they healthy thoughts? Am I focusing on solutions most of the time? Or am I focusing on the problem most of the time? Because, listen, if you continually focus on the problem, how many knows you're going to have the same old day tomorrow and the next day and the next day? So what are you focused on? Is it solutions or problems? Where's your heart at? Because wherever your heart, your treasure is going to be, that's where you're going to dwell. That's where your thoughts and processes, and that's what you're going to, how you're going to see life and how people's going to see you. And then we talked about in the first Sunday was charitable deeds. You know, 6:1-4, he said, when you do your charitable deeds, you know, don't be like people that's doing it for recognition. It's amazing to me over the years as a pastor, I've been here 25 years, and the people that will give, but they want me to know it. Just want you to know, I put $3,000 in the offering toward this. I want to say, well, I just want you to know you just lost your blessing. But I don't, you know, because I appreciate everything you give and do. But you don't need to tell me. Just, you know, just brag to God. Did you see what I give? Or are you watching this? You know, because He will. He'll watch it and He'll bless you and He'll give back to you, you know. So it's okay. But He says in charitable deeds, these are not tithes and offerings. These are charitable deeds. And I would like you to just one more time look at your calendar and see what kind of charitable deeds is on your calendar. Because here's what I know. If we don't give charitable deeds as not a part of our lifestyle, we become inward and we're going to lose a lot of joy. Some part of your week or month or something should be consist of being charitable, a charitable deed. Now, remember I taught you the week ago that when we have mercy for people that don't deserve mercy, that's a charitable deed. So it's not just about doing things, but sometimes it's about being and forgiving and having grace. In fact, I'm not backing up, but I want to show you something that I did not cover. And when I was just meditating this last week on the message of where I'm coming and I was reviewing, turn with me to Luke, the 12th chapter. I want to show you something. This is proof positive that of a man. This is what, if we don't have charitable deeds, this is how we can look in Luke chapter 12. And then we'll get on with today's lessons. I'll still have you out in a timely manner. Say thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 12. Verse 16. This is a man that, you know, I don't know him, but I can just tell you, this is what a person looks like without charitable deeds in their life. And it's terrible. I mean, it's really awful. But if we're not careful, all the money we make, everything we spend it on, everything we do can be about us. And that can even go by not having much grace and mercy. I seen some old friends, one of my old school friends last night. We went out to the National Final Rodeo and we was walking out and Janice said, there's one of your old classmates. And I was talking with him and we got talking about Caden. I took him down to his grandpa's. He wanted to go down to my dad's for whatever reason and stay with him, you know. And so I took him down Friday night, Jan and I did, and he's there. And last night he went to the rodeo with one of his cousins and my brother and my little cousin won the bull riding. He's, you know, we have a bull riders and horsemen and all that and cattle people in our family. And so he won the bull riding and I said, I hope he don't get fever, you know, Caden don't get fever. And usually what breaks the fever of most cowboys is once they get on and get stepped on or kicked or whatever, you know, it don't take long to break the fever. But anyway, so his cousin won last night in this little junior bull riding event and I was telling my friend about it and he says, and you're here and you're out here for your own pleasure instead of supporting your grandchild? And I said, well, that wasn't my grandchild. My grandchild is just, he was just there. And I said, and the reason he's there is because I took him down there. And I don't live under condemnation of guilt of other people that try to place it on me. But I'll tell you something. You better check your charity. You better check what you're doing. Because if you don't, those kind of statements can really sting you if they ask that and you know it's true. But I just wanted to show you, I thought, now, here's a guy that we don't want to be like in charitable deeds. And like I said, it's awful, but it's true. Look in Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them. This is Jesus saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. Most of us in this building would say we have plenty. We have more than enough. We have plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? Now you notice how inward that is. What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? Now watch this, and just watch the I's and my's in this story. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. This is the way we look when we never consider charitable deeds in our life. We have extra and we don't know how I'm going to heap it on myself more. That's a terrible picture, isn't it? It's a terrible picture. Usually in the holidays, I try to just send a little extra. We do a little shoebox things with the kids. They're just things that I try to make a habit during the season and support some other little charities just for me, because I don't want to get I don't want Christmas to be all about us. And so there's little things that I do outside the church that I want to do for. I don't want to get like this. And it never occurs to this man, oh, you know what? All of my barns are full. I've got more than enough. Why don't I start a charity? Never occurs to him. He never takes the focus for 1 minute off himself. It's all about him. And here's what concerns me about our culture is our kids. So many of our kids fit in this mode about I and me and my needs. My kids, when we go for lunch and ice cream, we go for lunch on Sundays and ice cream on Wednesday nights. And if they ever come up to me, you know what they're wanting? I know what they're wanting exactly. The first thing they want to know, can I ride up front? I've never once had one of them say, hey, Papa, can he ride up front? Not one time. Are you listening over there? Not one time have I heard. Could you know the other one ride up front today? Now I have to admit, Brian's the most charitable in that area. He don't usually ask to ride up front, and I don't know if he's charitable or slow, but he don't ask. You know, I think he just don't care where he rides. You know, it's a ride, and so he's the most charitable in that area. He gets A+ in that area. You know. In fact, he hadn't rode up front much because he won't come ask usually. And I remember him riding up front. This is the first time I ever rode up front of your new truck. I said, really? Well, you ought to ask more. But they used to have a rotation, and that didn't work for me because they argued whose rotation, you know. And I said, look, you won't ride in my truck if you're going to come in and argue about rotation. So now they just come and ask. But it's just that I'm concerned, and that's just a little example. And about your kids and your grandkids. I think if we don't teach them, they're going to do charitable deeds, and that every time they go to the store, it's not about them, and every time there's something bought, it's not about them, and every time, and teach them that it's not that way. It's not that way, and that's not what health comes from. And teach them how to give something away, being charitable. And if we don't, we'll develop this kind of guy. I don't know what his parents did, but evidently they've done something wrong, or he was lived a life of scarcity. Something happened and he couldn't see. And then he says in verse 19, I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure. Remember the treasure I talked to you about. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. How do we be rich toward God? He said, when you do it to the least of one of these, you've done it unto me. So you want to be rich toward God, just go find somebody just to do, you know, to give something to give to or to that's outside yourself. And I want to tell you something. If you want to have a great year, charity needs to be a part of your year. It really does. There's something that's soothing. That's why the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. because there's something that soothes the soul about knowing that you made a significant difference in somebody else's life. And we have all kinds of opportunities to do that in America. Okay? So I know it's a sidebar, but I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to go there today for that. Now, we talked about prayer last week and really how that's just conversation with God. And just don't do vain repetitions. You can pray repetitiously. Jesus did in the garden 3 times. He asked until he got an answer, you know, and all. So just don't pray vain repetitions. That's the thing. But prayer is nothing more than conversation with God. Just having we call it prayer, I think, because of the reverence and all. But, you know, it's to identify that we have conversations. And our intimate conversations that we have is really what it is. We'd call that prayer if we're offering it to God. We're supplicating for someone else. We're petitioning for someone else. We're saying, on behalf of, I come today, you know. And then Jesus does the same thing for us. He has conversations. Isn't that something to know that Jesus has conversations about you to the Father? Now, I know some of you, I'm sure they had some very interesting conversations. Did you see what she did? Oh, yeah, we're working on that. So, and that's what we covered. Now, this week I want us to go on, and we'll look at the end of the Lord's Prayer, because we're not going back to prayer. Just wanted to throw that out and say where we're at, but he teaches us how to pray, and we can't really improve on his prayer. So sometime during the day or week or however often you pray, that should be a part of your prayer to him is in that regard. And then he says in verse 12 in the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts. And I just use the word sins, because that's, to me, that's kind of what he's talking about. You can use debts, transgressions, sins, whatever you want to call it. I'm just simple, and I just say, forgive us our sins as I forgive, and I just put the word release others of their sins. You know. And so that's what I want to talk to you today about is forgiveness. How many knows you can't have a successful year if you're carrying around the baggage of unforgiveness? You just can't do it. And he's gonna tell us why, and so that's what we're gonna camp for a few minutes today. Forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And he says, and then don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And watch in verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses. Well, who are men? Does that exclude the ladies? Does that exclude the ex, the one that I can't stand at work? Does that, you know, who? No, it's everybody, isn't it? If you forgive men, whomever it is that's offended you, their trespasses, their sins against you, their transgressions against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, see, there's a stipulation there, isn't there? There's a stipulation on getting his. In fact, when I've preached this in the past, I thought it's like when we don't forgive, it's like putting handcuffs on God. Now, I know we can't handcuff God, but that's a mental picture I want you to get a hold of, because in your case, when you and I need forgiveness and we're not forgiving, we're like handcuffing God, because he said if you do not forgive men, verse 15, their trespasses, their transgressions, their sins that they've committed against you, in other words, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Neither will he forgive you your trespasses. And I know, you know, I know that forgiveness sometimes can be very hard. I understand that, you know. Anytime you're in leadership, some people just sit there with their little holier-than-thou gun and take shots at you. They just do, you know. And all of us in some form of leadership, right, we raise our kids. You ever been, you raise your kids doing the best you can with what you got, and all of a sudden somebody criticizes you about the way you handle your kids? That's pretty tough, isn't it? Don't you just want to give them your kids? You think you can do better with them? You take them for a week. You know, not always. I remember when Summer was little and had Fetimol seizures, and I had this lady come up to me, lady of faith. She said to me, and I'd fasted and prayed and confessed. I'd give offerings, thinking that, I'd see them on TV and they'd say, give offerings and that'll God will, we'll pray for you. And I did everything I knew to do, fasted and prayed for days. And so I she says, if that was my daughter, I wouldn't put up with that. I thought, now, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd hit you right in the nose. You better be glad I got the blood on me. Because I thought, what a critical statement for me. And she didn't know all the hours and the prayer and the faith that I'd used in trying to intercede for my kid, like any good parent would do. But if God doesn't move and heal and touch, let me tell you what, it's not going to get done. Because there's things beyond us. And he said, ask and you shall receive. And you'll receive something. It may not be what you ask, but God will give you something to either heal or go through or something. But he will answer you. But we just need to let God be God. There's a lady came in our church one time years ago. And she said she had lost a child. And some saint or professing Christian told her, said, if you just knew how to pray, your daughter wouldn't have died. Now, you wouldn't punch them. You'd just go ahead and shoot them, send them on home to be with Jesus, right? How cruel and how critical. And I told the lady, I said, let me tell you something. It just made me so mad. I said, that is a lie from the pits of hell. And I said, I don't think there's anything more that touches the heart of God than a mother's plea to her children. Remember when Jesus, they brought the demon-possessed daughter in and she said, Lord, heal him. And he wouldn't send except for the house of Israel and he wasn't going to do it. But she kept pulling his heartstrings and she didn't know how to pray, did she? She just said, heal her. She needs healing. I'm her mother and she needs help. She didn't pray eloquent prayers. She just said, we need help, Lord. And she wouldn't leave, and he said, we can't give our bread to the dogs. And she said, hey, even the dogs get a crumb. Now throw me something. This is my daughter. And he did, didn't he? He did. But, when you're facing things like that and people say stuff to you, it's hard to forgive. I understand that. It's hard to forgive. There's no, if it wasn't hard to forgive, I don't think he would have put it in the model prayer as a reminder every day. And by the way, I think if we pray it every day, it's easier than it is if we don't pray it. In fact, here's what I have learned about forgiveness. If you'll just say it and confess it, you know what? God will help you get the rest of the way. But you got to start where God said, and you got to do it because God said, do it. It's not a request. If you feel like it. Do you read that in here anywhere? It's not in here, is it? I want to show you something. And here's what we need to think. Go with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. And here's why we need to consider his commandment on forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. Watch this. The forgiveness of sins. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And here's, you can put it in or not, but I'm not adding to his prayer. I'm helping me, and this is the way I pray it. I forgive and I release them in Jesus' name. Now, part of that is because I just won't to know, I want to know that Jesus is there and that His power is available. And part of it is let Him know when it's too hard for me, I'm going to do it in Your name, and it's not too hard for You. And when I do it in Your name, You're going to help me. Because I belong to You. I've been paid for with a price, with Your blood. So in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit about that. In Ephesians, the word redemption, for instance, here, it says in the Greek, it says forgiveness is liberated by payment or ransom. Redemption. He has redeemed us from sin. So, liberated, we have been liberated by payment of a ransom. You know, we talk about a ransom note. Well, Jesus was our ransom note. He paid our debt. And so that's why now you come to the throne of God and can approach the throne of God anytime that you choose to do that, because the blood's been applied to you, the veil's been rent in two, and so through Jesus' blood, it gives us access, He said, to come boldly to the throne of God whenever we need, for whatever we need. And if it wasn't for His forgiveness, this redemption, how many knows that we wouldn't be here? So now, watch this, and he says, through the redemption of His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And the word forgiveness there is to release from bondage or imprisonment. When Jesus forgave us, it released us from bondage and imprisonment. And not only that, but it says forgiveness or a pardon of sins, and I love this, letting go as if they had never been committed. Now that's forgiveness, isn't it? Somebody comes to you and they've hurt you and they've just to the core, and they look at you and say, I am so sorry for that. And you say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I forgot that. I've thrown it away. Doesn't exist anymore. Or better yet, if you went to somebody that you hurt, you know you'd been stupid. How many's ever been stupid once in a while? Oh, thank you very much. I'm not alone, huh? You say, man, forgive me. I'm so sorry. Yesterday, we was talking to my friend at the rodeo last night, the one I said, you know, I don't live under that. And he told me, we had a class reunion down at Stratford this last summer, and he said, I was so mad at you. And I could still almost sense some of that. And I said, his brother said something about coming down and having dinner with him or something, or looking at his house, whatever it was. And they have log cabins, and they're real rustic. They drive wagon trains and stuff like that, you know, and real cowboy stuff. And I said, he's still mad at me. Just kind of messing with him and checking the waters, you know. He said, no, I forgave you after about a year. But when somebody that, and the reason he was mad at me was because, he said, the last time I saw you, I met you at the filling station in Stratford, and he said, and you said, I'm not coming back. He said, and boy, you meant it, you never came back. That's when I married my beautiful wife, and we went on and had life. And he said, but it was best friends. But I just got engulfed. I was young, teenage kid. I got married. I was in love. And I know it was, because 40 years later, I'm still in love with her. And you know, it's wonderful. I think God created her for me. In fact, when He takes her home, I hope He takes me with her. but isn't it good when you've offended somebody and they come and they act like that never happened? What are you talking about? That never, and I do that quite a bit. People come and say, you know, I was a little sharp, or I said something, and I hope you didn't take it offensively. And I said, what did you say? Because I really don't take you offensively unless you just really poke at me. Trust me, everybody knows me knows that I'm that way. You just really have to tell me, I am mad and I'm talking to you. And it's a beautiful life to live this way. My wife knows if you're mad at me a lot long before I do. Oh, I think they're upset with you. I said, no, they're not. They're just having a bad day or something. They're not mad at me. Why would they be mad at me? And sure enough, they are. But isn't it good when they forgive you and they say, you know what, I love you and I forgive you. And they act like that, like it never happened. Somebody said, that's why he said, you're justified just as if you had never sinned. That's what Jesus did for us. Now, and then it said, not only that, but he said, according to the riches of his grace. Let me ask you something. Who's our role model? Jesus. And when it comes to forgiveness, he says that, you know what, when we forgive, he says we should liberate that person. We should pardon them. We should be that ransom for them that says, I'm no longer. And then our forgiveness should look like that. That is, it never even happened. That's a tall order, isn't it? To act like it never happened. Now, here's something, you know, you learn from life's lessons. And if you did something in the midst of all that says, well, this was my part, and I'll never do that part again. That was probably part of the problem, and then we correct that. But otherwise, we just forgive, and through the power of Jesus Christ, and we want to be like Christ, right? We're supposed to be imitators of Him, so we should have the richness of grace to be able to do that. Because that's what's in Him, according to the riches of His grace. That's what He gave for us. So now if we're going to be Christ-like, we're going to have to say, it's not in me except through Christ, it's in me to forgive. Listen, some of you are, God is just talking to you today, and because of someone in your life or some situation in your life or some circumstance, and the unforgiveness is there, and it's just like dragging along big old heavy baggage every day, just toting it around, and you know it's holding you back. You can't see clearly. Your heart, your treasure is disrupted, and it's not in the right place because you just keep carrying this unforgiveness around and not knowing how to get loose from it. And I'm telling you, this is your day. This is your day to get loose. This is your day to get free. We're in Ephesians. Just go right over to Philippians. You're right at it. Just turn over to the next book and you'll be there. And in Philippians 3, Paul talks to the Philippians church in verse 10, he talks about that I may know him, that I may know Jesus in the power of his resurrection. See, that kind of power. I want to know him like that. I want, you know, because I need help in all these areas, and unforgiveness could be one of them, or carrying hurt, or, you know, and if you're carrying hurt and all this terrible thoughts, and when you're around people, that's unforgiveness. You can call it what you want, but, you know, if you're carrying that stuff in your heart and not releasing it, it's unforgiveness. He says, and the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead, and you know, not only use it here, but this will carry me through to the next. He said, not that I've already attained or am already perfected. And sometimes we think, well, when I get stronger, when I get more spiritual, when I get something, then I'll forgive and I'll. But no, how many knows we're never going to arrive while we're on this side of glory? We're always going to have something we got to fight against in battles. That's just a part of human nature. But he says, I press. Everybody say press. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now watch this. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing. One thing. One thing I do. Watch this. Here's a powerful point when we're talking about forgiveness. Forgetting those things which are behind. Everybody read that with me. Forgetting those things which are behind. Are you with me? Paul says there's some things. How many things if you'd been beat 5 times with lashes and if you'd been shipwrecked and left out to sea for dead and all the things that he mentioned, how many things there would be some things you'd have to leave behind? If you opened your shirt up and looked at your back and it looked like a road map of a busy city because they had whipped you so many times for the cause of Christ and they had stoned you and left you for dead and all the, you know, all these things, how many things you'd have to leave some stuff behind? Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. That's yesterday. That's old news. How many knows in your past there's problems and there's facts? And how many knows what's in the past? It's a fact, Jack. Oh, that's me, isn't it? That's a fact. You cannot do anything about a fact, about something that's happened to you yesterday or 10 minutes ago or whatever it is. That is a fact. You cannot change that. But you can forget it and leave it behind. You don't have to camp there. And then he says this. Here's the other key to that. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. Reaching forward to those things which are what? Ahead. And then he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, it's not enough just to forget. You've got to press forward. In my notes, I wrote this. You know, the word forgetting means this, neglecting. What happens to something that you neglect? If you have a plant in your house and you neglect that plant, what's going to happen to that plant? If you have a dog in your yard and you neglect that dog, what's going to happen? If you had an infant or a child and you neglected that child, they're going to die, aren't they? Forgetting is neglecting, and it says no longer caring for. Are you listening? If you want to forget it, neglect it. Starve it to death. Don't care for it anymore. You know what happens when we harbor unforgiveness and we nurture it and baby it and kiss it and hug it and think about how awful we were done and how awful they are and they'll never do me that way again and I can't believe that it's not, you know, and we exalt us and we tear whomever or whatever down. Paul said, forget it. Neglect it. And if you can't get over it, neglect it. Don't care for it. Don't let it entertain you. You know, don't rehearse it. Curse it. Not literally. You know what I'm saying. You don't entertain it any longer. I refuse to rehearse that. That's what happens when we get into unforgiveness. We rehearse every day the hurt, the pain, the suffering, the what I'm going through, the what I don't understand. And we rehearse, and we don't forget it, and we don't lay it there and neglect it, and it gets so nurtured that it can't die. Well, you're pretty quiet, but this is still the truth, and it'll still set you free. So instead of nurturing unforgiveness, we starve it, and we nurture forgiveness. What would forgiveness look like? And we begin to nurture that. Well, he said to say, pray blessing on them. I could do that. And I've preached this so many times, but the feelings will come. I'm just doing it because Jesus said, do it. And so, that's that reaching forward. You know, I'm doing it, and that's the reaching forward to the things that are ahead. When you do what God said, even if it don't feel good, if it don't feel right, you're doing it because God said, and He's never wrong. And so we're reaching forward to those things which are in front of us. So we're starving to death unforgiveness, and we're nurturing forgiveness. How about nurturing healing thoughts and starving to death the painful thoughts? If it's a painful thought, stop dwelling on it. If it's in the past and it's done, that's a fact. You cannot change it, but you can stop dwelling on it and go from this day forward and say, I will not entertain that again. That has no place in my mind and my heart. And either you give it the power or you take the power away from it. It's up to you. How many know Jesus has done everything He's going to do for you and me? And now He sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, but there's no more blood, there's no more grace to be shed. Everything we need is available for us to get healed in Jesus' name. So here we are, and then I thought, you know, nurture healthy action steps. And starve to death being stuck in this past of where it is. But you have to nurture something. That's the reaching forward. And you have to starve something. That's the forgetting those things which are behind. So let me ask you this. For you that are sitting here today and you think, I think God's got my number. I think my phone's ringing today. What kind of an action step could you take? What kind of reaching forward could you do today? That's a great question for you. If you've got something in the past, and I don't care if it's 20 years old, and you said, I just can't let it go. I just can't forget it. Well, you got new information today according to the Word. And how many knows He said, this Word will set you free. So you've just been enlightened a little more. It's your lucky day for coming to church and hearing God's Word preached. How will they know? And how will we send them without the Word? And so you've just heard the Word. And here's something. You might say, you know, I'm so hurt and it's been so lodged and the baggage has been here so long. I can't reach. Well, then lean. Just, you know, if you can't reach, you can't go that far. Just lean toward it. Come on now. I know I just want you to get a picture. God doesn't require what you cannot do. And if you say, I just can't, that's too big a stretch for me to forgive and to release that. Well, just lean that way. Today, just lean that way. Remember last week when I told you, when you tell one of your kids he's hurt the other kid and you tell him to say, I'm sorry, and they say, sorry. That's a leaning, isn't it? It's not a reaching, but it's a leaning. Same way with us. And I don't know about you, but if the kid says sorry and if the tone wasn't good, I might correct, I might not. If I knew that was all he could muster or she could muster, I might say, you did your job, go to your room now. We got a sorry, you know, we're making progress. And so if you can't reach, you don't have that much love or grace or whatever we're lacking in that. And that's why he says, you know what? You know, faith and hope and charity, and the greatest of these is what? Charity, love. The greatest is love, because love says, I'm just going to love, if I'm going to love you and I'm going to love God. And in fact, God said this. He said, if you don't keep my commandments, you do not love me. He don't care what you say. And I say, if we don't keep his commandments, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So we can lie and say, well, I love God. But God says, if you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. That's the fact. That's the fruit of our love to him, is just keeping his commandments. It's not about going out and doing a whole bunch of things. We think we try to win God's love by doing stuff, and it's not that at all. That's charitable deeds. That's what we do because of who we are out of our being. But you know, God, when we come to Him, He loves us. But this unforgiveness will keep us in darkness. It'll keep we can't see what we need to see. It's just like if something attacks your body, it's going to affect the whole body, right? If you get cancer or tumors or whatever, it's going to affect your whole body. And unforgiveness is that way. And today, God has said, this is going to be a different year for some of you. Because today, if you can't reach, you can lean. I don't know what that looks like, but you know what it looks like. You'll know. And maybe it's just to say, just maybe for the first time to say, I forgive them or the situation or whatever it was. I forgive in Jesus' name. Maybe that's all you can do. Well, that's a good leaning. Now, here's what happens. As you lean toward God, He comes toward you. As you extend your will toward His will, man, He comes in. The Bible says, like a flood, He'll come in. And that's what He showed me today, or this week, studying and meditating on this Word, that if they'll just come in and if they'll just lean, if they'll just do that, I'm going to come in and I'm going to meet them there. And they're gonna experience some freedom like they've never experienced. I want to tell you something. Unforgiveness is really, for your part, is more about you than it is those who are not that you have this against. Because, you know, that's how they keep you in bondage. That's how Satan keeps you in bondage. Because if they're not forgiving, you know, we're over here in this mindset and this hurt and this whatever we're carrying around with us, and all of a sudden Satan says, "That's right where I want you." You cannot be effective over here, and you cannot think right, and you cannot worship right, and you cannot walk in light like you should, because you're carrying this unforgiveness. That's right where, just leave them right there. Don't mess with them anymore, that we've got them right where we want them. But when you start leaning and reaching out toward God with forgiveness, that's when Satan and all hell gets nervous. Because you know what? He said, this truth will set you free, and you'll begin to experience abundant life, and you don't have to carry that around no more, and you can come out of prison today. And I know you can, because He said He is of His abundant grace, we've been set free, and He give us access to whatever He had. And so as we make this leaning and reaching forward, just you're going to experience it today. Now, here's what I feel like God wants me to do. Your first leaning will just be to say, and I started to have everybody just bow your head and close your eyes and all that stuff, but I just want you to lean toward God openly. Because I want your whoever's sitting around you to see your hand and say, and then that's someone to pray for you and ask God, because they have leaned or reached out to you today, and you just begin to intercede for whoever's around you their hand up. But if you want to get free today and you know it's you, and it may be me next week, but right now I'm cool. You know, but next week I might have to raise my hand because somebody's offended me and I'm struggling right now and I can't forgive them yet. You know, I do that once in a while. I mean, we're human. But right now it's your time. Or maybe you've been in it a long time and you say, I just don't want to carry it around no more. I can't do anything about it. I just don't want to carry it no more. And I surrender today. If you surrender, that's a leaning. Are you listening? If you surrender, it's a leaning. That's a reaching. So today, if you say, you know what, Pastor, that's part of my problem this week, would you just raise your hand and we're going to pray for you. And your calendar's going to change this year. Your calendar, thank you very much. And just keep your hands raised because we want to pray for you. Thank you very much for your, thank you very much for your honesty. Thank you. Thank you very much for your honesty. Thank you over here for your honesty. Just keep your hand up. That's okay. This is your leaning. Come on. You're not proud of it, but we're proud of you for it, for saying, I'm leaning towards Jesus today. I don't care who knows it. Hell can have it because I'm giving it back today. Now, Father, for everybody that has their hand raised today, that's their leaning, Lord, and they're leaning towards you today. And today, Lord, you're coming and you're going to lean toward them and reach out toward them. And today, something's going to change. Something's going to be better than it ever has. Something, because you said if you will lean, I'll come and I'll meet you there. And they're doing that today. This is their leaning toward heaven. And I thank you, Lord, for their honesty. I thank you, Lord, that you, their confession today. And I thank you that you're meeting them right where they are in Jesus' name. Today, Lord, I ask you to begin to give them more power and more grace and more ability than they ever had in the past. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing power to them in such a way that they'll never be the same again. Today, they'll say it's in the past. All the feelings may not be gone today, but Lord, this is the start. This is the day they're going to find release in Jesus' name. And all the church, just give him a thunderous glory and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for their courage today to raise their hand and say, God, I'm leaning. Thank you, Lord, and honor that for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for freeing your children that says, I'm truthful and I'm honest and I'm seeking the truth today. Set them free according to your word in Jesus' name. Give them more grace than they ever thought they could have possible. Just saturate them in grace today and forgiveness that only comes through you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And I want to tell you something. Today, you've made a confession. And I guarantee that when you leave, they'll say, well, you don't mess with it. Here's what I know. You've made a reaching today, and today God looks at you different. Today you look at God and you look at stuff different. And I want you to nurture that. It may not come overnight, but I want you to nurture it. What can I do to step forward? What can I do to reach forward? What little thing, and just ask the Holy Spirit, what little thing can I do now to reach forward in this area? I've confessed it to you. Now I'm just going to reach forward. What step do you want me to do? And I'll do it. I'll be obedient. I don't carry it around in 2012. I want this to be the year, the month that I said I laid it down. And man, do I feel good. I've got more light this year. I've got more direction this year. I've got more peace this year because I laid it down at the altar. It's going to be a good year for you. And listen, when it hits me and you next week, next month, 6 months, let's remember this. Lay it down. Man, whenever I do that and somebody punches or gouges me, you know, with some kind of verbal abuse or whatever it is, I stay on my face before God till I can get released from it because I think I don't want to carry this around. And it's not, and I hate being separated from God because of things I'm carrying around. So while you talk about all my energy comes to focus because I've learned the freedom that God has given us is so wonderful. It's so wonderful to live without unforgiveness in your heart. And it frees our Father to love us the way He wants to love us. So thank you, children of God, for raising your hand and getting free today. We salute you. Father, we thank you for your grace coming today in such a powerful way. And Lord, for all that raised their hand today, and maybe some that couldn't lean that far. They wanted to, but they just couldn't lean that far today. I pray over them, and I pray that you would just bless their efforts. The more they give and the more they do, the more power I pray that you'll give them. They've made their confession today, Lord. You said, if we confess, you'll come. And so we just thank you, God, that every person that's seeking unforgiveness today will find it completely in the coming days. And we just thank you for that freedom. Thank you, Lord. And for all of us that will face times of unforgiveness this year, bring this back to our remembrance, the words as you spoke to us today out of Ephesians and out of Matthew and out of Philippians. Bring these back to our remembrance. And help us, God, to be quick to seek forgiveness so we can walk in the light that you've called us to, the power you've called us to. In Jesus' name, all the church says.